Good Sunday morning to you. I hope you are all doing well. Thank you for joining me today for Sunday Morning with Love and Action. It appears things are going to start opening back up some, slowly to begin with, here in Alabama and throughout the nation as the pandemic response of stay-at-home orders are beginning to come to an end in other areas, but there's still going to be a lot of restrictions, and it changes daily, it seems, so we have to continue to keep up on that. But as things start returning back to normal or somewhat normal, I think it's going to be a while before it's back to normal. I want to encourage you about something, and that is don't return to normal. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your Son, Jesus, to die on that cross for our sins, to rise back up from the grave on the third day, to give us victory over sin, over Satan, over death, and eternal life with you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for helping us through each and every situation, whether it's a pandemic or whether it's just something going on in each one of our lives, Lord. Maybe it's a stronghold. Maybe it's a financial struggle or an illness. God, whatever it is, we can be sure that you are with us because you never leave us and you never forsake us. Father, we can see so clearly from the time this pandemic started up to this point that there's only one thing that is for sure. One thing that does not change, and that's you, God. You, your word does not change. We've seen government systems fail. We've seen stock market economy fail. We've seen so many other things going on, but God, you have not failed, and you never will. And Lord, we thank you that we can trust in you fully, completely, and know that you are always with us. And Lord, you always see us through each and every situation. And if we just listen to you and follow you, we're so much better when we come out on the other side. So Lord, we just thank you again for this day, this opportunity to share your gospel over the airways. Lord, be with each one listening. Pray, God, for health, for healing, and most of all, for the realization of how much you love each one of us and what you have done for us, Jesus. And if anyone's listening who do not have that relationship with you, I pray today is their day. Oh, Father God, we praise you. Lord, help us to hear what you have to say to us. May we be doers of your word and not hearers only. For it's in your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I made the statement before we prayed that today we're going to talk about don't return to normal. Now, what in the world am I saying about that? Of course, we want to see people return to work. We want to see students back in school and all of that going on. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about is our spiritual lives and what God has been doing during this time. And it's been exciting seeing the body of Christ respond to the call of God on our lives during this time. And if we go back, we're going to miss out on a lot. And let me further explain. The other day, well, actually last week on a live Facebook, I talked about what I've seen God doing during the pandemic. And my wife Martha was with us. Sean, who's on staff with us, Love and Action, was with us. A new believer and a disciple of Christ, Brother Jay, was with us. And Suhail, our pastor and wonderful friend from Pakistan, was with us. And we all talked about what we've been seeing God do during this pandemic. It was so much fun and it was so encouraging. And people were responding on comments, talking about what they've seen God doing in their lives and throughout the body of Christ. And it was just very exciting. And we went on, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 minutes, just having a wonderful time praising God and talking about the things of God. Here's some things that I've been seeing since the pandemic started. Well, first, let's go back just a little bit. Before the pandemic started, it was church as normal for the vast majority of Christians here in the U.S. and right here in Dothan, where bodies of believers would gather in buildings and worship God together, have small group meetings or Sunday schools, the normal church activities, which none of those are bad. Those are all good things because it's good to come together and worship together and study and learn together. But during the pandemic, I've been seeing a lot of things happen outside the church, and it's because it had to happen outside the church. And a very important thing I hope that and I pray that we grab a hold of is while the COVID-19 virus has been out there, church buildings have been closed. And all church services have been online, and the church buildings themselves have not been open for gatherings. And what that has forced the church to do is to do what God has intended us to do since Jesus raised from the grave. When he arose from the grave and showed himself to the disciples and to many others, including the 500 at one time, and when he ascended to heaven and sent his Holy Spirit, and on the day of Pentecost, the Great Commission kicked in. Throughout Acts, we can see where the apostles, the disciples were out amongst the people, preaching the gospel, helping those who were in need, coming together for fellowship, eating together, partaking in the Lord's Supper together. And somewhere along the line, things started going inward, where the focus was inside a building and not as much outside of, like the early church was. But here, the past 6, 7, 8 weeks, we've just really been seeing the body of Christ out in the community, and it's been awesome. For example, many, many believers gathered, well, not together, but in their vehicles, have been driving around the circle of Dothan, praying for the city, praying for the city's leaders, praying for each other, most importantly, asking God to forgive us, repentance. And that is so important, and the right response to a plague, to a pestilence, is repentance. And we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us and turn from our ways and turn to his. And even within the church, talking about the body of Christ, that can happen so much where we can be busy doing good things, but not doing what God wants us to do, not clearly hearing his voice and responding in obedience. And so we need to ask God to forgive us for that and to repent for that. But we've seen the body of Christ come together and pray not only for our city, but also for our healthcare workers. We've seen believers in parking lots outside of Flowers Hospital in Southeast Health praying for the doctors and the nurses and everyone who's inside those hospitals. And it's just been phenomenal. It's been awesome to see the body of Christ out praying for this city. And that is powerful. And I truly believe we're going to see amazing things that's going to come from that because of who we pray to. God honors obedience. Yeah, we've seen many people using the skills God has given them to sew and make masks for our healthcare workers. So that was a huge need. And so people have been responding. The church has been responding and helping our healthcare workers, providing meals for healthcare workers. Before the pandemic, we would see individual bodies of believers, individual churches doing things. But here we've been seeing body of believers, the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, no matter which house of worship that each person attends, but it's the true body of Christ working together. And that's what Jesus prayed for, the Gospel of John chapter 17, for us to be one, even as he and the Father are one. It's just been exciting seeing that happen at Love in Action. We have seen new volunteers come. Some of our regular volunteers have not been able to because of the pandemic, and we sure do miss them, but we are looking so forward to them coming back. But these new volunteers have come in just excited about serving Jesus. And when our other volunteers come back, we are going to have an awesome army of God to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and serve those in need here in Dothan. But we've been seeing these new volunteers just hungry for God, hungry for a move of God. and they're not sitting back. They're being a part of what God is doing. We have seen the body of Christ respond with an outpouring of donations financially, as well as items that we have needed, such as food, because there were so many people in need of food, and that's been a big focus of Love in Action, is responding to that need. And we have cooked a whole lot of food, a whole lot of chicken, and our volunteer chef, I call him Brother Chef Lonnie, and he has cooked so much food. Let me give you an example of what we've seen God do, his provision. That's another thing that we keep seeing time and time again, and he keeps confirming that we're doing what he wants us to do. For example, a week ago on a Saturday, we cooked over 300 pounds of chicken leg quarters, and we also gave away over 100 pounds of chicken. So that's over 400 pounds of chicken on that one Saturday. And that night, as we were wrapping up the day of ministry and we're driving back home, I get a call from a friend who is a manager at one of the local Publix, and they had chicken, frozen chicken, that they wanted to donate. So we drove the bus to Publix, picked up the chicken. There was over 500 pounds of chicken, so we served over 400 pounds. God just blessed us with over 500 pounds. Plus, right at that same time, another volunteer brought us 80 pounds of chicken. And on top of that, another friend had received a donation of 400 pounds of chicken from Wayne Farms to give to Love in Action. And so, you know, God's economy is not broken. The world's economy has been broken. And we can see how unstable it can be. But God's economy, God's ways of taking care of each need is not broken. And we've just been seeing things like that happen time and time again. And it's the body of Christ who is responding and being obedient to what God is telling them to do. And it's so exciting, because as the body of Christ responds and needs are being met, people are being saved. People are giving their lives to Jesus. They're seeing that God has not forgotten about them in the middle of this pandemic. In the most crucial times of their lives, God is blessing and taking care of those needs. I can't tell you how many places we've showed up where, whether it's in mobile homes or apartments or houses, where people are saying, "I didn't know what I was going to do for food. I'm out of food. I don't know what I was going to eat tonight. I don't know what my children were going to eat tonight." And here God has blessed them with hot meals, with groceries. You talk about giving someone hope. And that's what the body of Christ is doing. And we're seeing that on a daily basis. And people are coming to the Lord. People are realizing, you know what? I need Jesus. I need a Savior in my life. And that's one thing that this pandemic has done, is open people's eyes, open their hearts up to realize you can't depend on government. You can't depend on man's ways. We need God. We need God in our lives. And we need the Savior, Jesus Christ, in our lives. It's just been awesome seeing that take place. And it's the body of Christ responding. We have seen that over the years at Love in Action. We've had many long-time volunteers, many long-time donors, financially as well as items that we need. Long-time people praying for us. But now there's just this influx, and it's been awesome. And it shows us what can happen when we work together as the body of Christ, whether it's through Love in Action or whether it's through prayer circles or whether it's through the different things that God's doing out there. That's what's so exciting. So that's my encouragement to you, is don't return back to normal. When the economy opens back up and jobs open back up, and I'm praying for those jobs to open up soon, because I see people who have lost their jobs, and it hurts, because they were doing okay. The needs were being met, and then the jobs went away, and therefore the paychecks went away, and it's been really tough the past 2 months. So I'm looking forward to that opening back up and people getting those opportunities to return back to work. Work, jobs, that's another thing. Before the pandemic, it was often said by people, oh man, I got to go to work today. Kind of with a dread and not looking forward to it. And now people are saying, I can't wait to return back to work. And that's an appreciation because we realize, you know what, when I had that job, I was able to meet the needs of my family. And so it gives us a whole new appreciation for what we had. There's so many things God is showing us. The biggest thing he is showing us is to worship him and to worship him alone. The governments can easily become idols. Sports, figures, sports, teams, sporting events can become idols. Money, obviously, can become a big idol in people's lives. Even church buildings can become idols. And God's showed us, you know what? All that can disappear. And I mean, it went fast. When the pandemic started, things started closing down. Systems started failing immediately, worldwide. And God is showing us, see, be careful where you put your faith at. And we need to put our faith in him and in him alone. And let God guide us and direct us through this life. So my plea again is don't return to normal. When churches open back up and we gather together to worship corporately, and I'm looking forward to that because that is so important. We need to be together with the body of the believers and worship God together and receive teaching. We need all that. But if we just go back inside and stop coming together, stop going out to where the people are, to where the needs are, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss what God is doing. Because I truly believe we are entering into a new era of ministry. And it's maybe new to this generation, but it's really a call back to the beginnings, back to the book of Acts, where we are out in the community as believers, sharing Jesus with others, meeting needs, and seeing God work miracles. I truly believe we have entered into that time. And if we turn back, we're going to totally miss what God is doing. And for those who keep going forward, we're going to see exciting things happen. And we're not going to miss what God is doing. And as an example from the Bible, I wanted to look at Peter, the Apostle Peter. We know Peter was born in Bethesda in Galilee, Israel. Before he met Jesus, he was a fisherman. That's what he did for a living. Jesus called Peter to follow him in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And we read, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, being Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. So we see Peter was a fisherman. He was out there doing his thing, casting nets out, catching fish, when Jesus gave him the invitation, follow me. And so he did, and life began to change. And John chapter 1, verse 42, Jesus says, you are Simon Peter, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Now, the interesting thing about that is the name Cephas and Peter are from the word rock in Aramaic and Greek, respectively. That's going to take on great meaning as he continues to follow Jesus. And Peter became a disciple of Jesus at that moment, and he's mentioned very often throughout the Gospels. Well, he's one of the disciples whose life was really highlighted during Jesus' ministry. And he's famous for many things. Peter was there when Jesus was transfigured, and he was walking on water at Jesus' bidding. You know, no other disciples walked on water. It was Peter. So Peter was at Jesus' transfiguration, and he was walking on water at Jesus' bidding. When Jesus asked him, who do you say I am? Peter made that famous statement in Matthew chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was such a powerful statement, and still is and always will be, because Peter was declaring that Jesus was the Messiah, and he is the Son of the living God. Peter is also known for rebuking Jesus for what seemed to him to be a negative thinking on Jesus' part, and that prompted Jesus with a sharp reply to Peter saying, "Get behind me, Satan." So Peter was, something was always going on with Peter. He was, rebuking the Messiah. Who would do that other than Peter? But Jesus set him straight real quick. Peter is known for a statement to Jesus during the washing of the feet, during the Last Supper, as Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. In John chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." There goes Peter again, making a statement, telling Jesus, "No, you're not going to do something." And Jesus says, "Well, you're not going to have any part of me if I don't." But Peter says, "All right, wash my feet, wash my head, wash my hands." He wanted to be part of what Jesus was doing. He didn't want to miss that. Peter's also known for drawing a sword when Jesus was being arrested. Peter was also known as the one who denied Jesus when he was in the courtyard of the high priest after Jesus had been arrested, and Jesus had told him that he would deny him, and Peter did. But Peter was also granted the singular privilege of an individual post-resurrection appearance by Jesus, as we read in Luke 24, verse 34, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5, where it says that Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. So it was an individual meeting with Jesus. Then Jesus restored Peter. After Peter denied him, Jesus was crucified. Jesus rose from the grave. And then we have that beautiful scene where Jesus restores Peter. And let's read that. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. "And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' And he said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go.' This he said to him to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Jesus invited Peter twice to follow him. Once when Jesus' ministry first began, and then again after Peter's denial and Jesus' resurrection, he invites Peter again to follow him. Now, what was Peter doing before Jesus restored him? Well, we see in John chapter 21, verses 2 and 3, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. So what did Peter do? He returned to normal. He returned to what he knew before he met Jesus, and that was fishing. But thankfully, he turned back to Jesus, and Jesus restored him. But even at that moment, Peter still had a choice, because Jesus also told him how he would die. So he had a choice. Okay, I can go back to fishing, or I can follow Jesus. I can return to normal, or I can go into this new ministry that Jesus is calling me into. Thankfully, he followed Jesus, and he obeyed his commands. Look what Peter would have missed if he had returned to his normal way of life. It was Peter who preached to the masses in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. You know, Jesus ascended to heaven, told them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and Peter's message is recorded in Acts chapter 2. After he finished preaching, boldly preaching the gospel, 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus, and they were baptized that day. He would have missed out on that. Peter's also the one who prompted the disciples to choose a replacement to take over the apostolic ministry of Judas Iscariot. So they had to replace him, and Peter was the one who prompted the disciples to do that. It was also Peter who healed a man who was over 40 years old, and he had been crippled from birth. And Peter tells him in Acts chapter 3, verse 6, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and he began leaping. He stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Peter would have missed out on that if he would have returned to normal. Peter was called by the Apostle Paul a pillar of the church. It was also believed by the crowds that if Peter just walked by them, his shadow touched them, that people would be healed. Now, there's no proof that that actually happened, but that's the stature that Peter had in the church. He was a pillar of the church, as the Apostle Paul called him. Under the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter healed the sick and raised the dead. He made a trip to Antioch. We can read about that in Galatians chapter 2, and possibly Corinth. We can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. Peter wrote two epistles, two letters, called 1 Peter and 2 Peter. The Apostle Peter was also the source for Mark's gospel, so he was influential in the writing of the gospel of Mark. Peter would have missed all this stuff. He would have missed all these miracles, all this awesome life that he had living for Jesus if he would have returned to normal. So what I'm saying is, let's don't return to normal. Let's keep going forward with what God is doing now. Let's continue to be his hands and his feet and those who are out praying for our community, praying for people, helping meet the needs of people, sharing that encouragement of hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. In other words, let's be about the Great Commission. So many are right now, and it's an awesome time to be a follower of Christ. Let's continue. Let's don't return to normal. Let's keep going forward in Jesus Christ and watch the awesome things that he will do. There is a huge harvest to be reaped. God is drawing people to him. Let's don't miss what God's doing. I'm out of time, but thank you for joining me today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.